On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Looky here, it's the 27th day of August, 2014. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That's where you go to find the, to find the chat room, which folks are wandering into already. Good evening, Jeremy. Good evening, M. Brandt. Good evening, Sergi. Good evening, Texas T. And good evening, of course, to inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator, Sparky. And thanks also to Sparky for the care package that arrived today. Berg and I have been having chips and salsa and munching on jalapeno pistachios and eating some ghost pepper cheese. Not goat pepper, ghost pepper, baby. Oh, yeah. We got home from the post office with that earlier today. And I mean to tell you, we lit into it. Curiosity as well as a love for all things spicy. And I mean to tell you, It wasn't 5 or 10 minutes into our ghost pepper cheese, smoky ghost pepper cheese experience before we were both just sitting here, our heads were ringing wet with sweat. I mean, it was hot, hot, hot. And by definition, yummy and wonderful. So thank you, Sparky. Thank you very kindly. Sparky has extended to the end of the month, which is not that far off, but extended to the end of the month, Sparky's pistachio challenge. For anybody who wants to kick in $100, Sparky will ship out a pound of those pistachios produced grown not at all far from where Sparky lives, a little local delicacy, as it were. So thank you, Sparky, and that offer is on the table. Let's see. The chat room. Yeah, come on by. More people popping in even as we speak. You can also get to the Listen Live pop-out player at the Horn homepage. Of course, if you're listening on a mobile device, smart this, Android that, whatever, we recommend the apps from Stitcher and TuneIn with the understanding that none of the advertising you may see there in any wise supports what we're doing here. This is entirely a listener-supported operation. It's just beneficial to remind folks of that. We ended yesterday evening in rather a dire hole. Thank you very kindly to a couple of folks. First of all, to the Happy Hippie Billy and his beloved. And thank you to Janie. And thank you to, I usually have a list up, but, one second. And thank you to Eric. Yes. Thank you very kindly, one and all. Eric sent a note and says, Bob, you still have the best show. However, in light of the ongoing tragedy in Ferguson, Missouristan, fascinating, M-A-Z-O-U-R-A-H-S-T-A-N, Missouristan, that's very good, Eric. In light of the ongoing tragedy in Ferguson, Missouristan, I'd like to know when Sandra will give us her take on that, as well as Obama's aloofness to it. One never knows, Eric. But thank you very much for helping out, indeed. Let's see. So this evening we need to thanks to Janie and Eric and the Happy Hippie Billy, we need to raise $100 tonight. It could be much worse. So thanks one and all. And of course, don't think for a minute that I'm sorry if I sound a little tired. It's another one of those rather energy sapping days here in the Horn Studio sauna. Let's see, the thermometer on the wall says it is a toasty 90 degrees in here. It's almost as though there's really no air conditioner. God only knows what it would be if that thing wasn't running. Oh, well, we'll get through. I got to thinking about it, though. Ever since Janie corrected my pronunciation of sauna, that has stayed with me. But I got to thinking, if it's sauna and not sauna, does that mean sha-na-na is shau-now-now? Just the little things that we ponder along the way. Hey, thanks very kindly to Asa for kicking in here as the program begins. That takes us down to $80 to go for the evening. We'll start the plate passing in a minute because, no, don't think for a minute that I don't know what day it is. Yes, the 27th day of August, of course. But it's Wednesday, the 27th day of August. It's hump day. It's downhill to Friday. But brethren and sistren, ever so much more than that. Glory, hallelujah, amen. Oh, mercy, mercy. It's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Yes, it is, brethren and sistren. And I tell you what, we had a magnificent dinner. We had a magnificent dinner down there in the fellowship hall. The little old blue-haired ladies at the end of August have outdone themselves again. Oh yes, we had a congealed orange and carrot pineapple salad to get all cooled off in it, and we followed up with some chicken stew and some cornbread and fresh green beans out of the garden. The beans are still coming in as the summer comes to its end. A little bit of tomato, some red ripe tomato slices on the side. Oh yes, and the dessert table. Oh, the youngins, they got left out in the cold again. Those poor little tykes standing there as the deacons went after the coconut cake with white coconut icing on it and a big old dollop of home-churned ice cream. Goodness gracious sakes alive. And then they trundled their bulk, the deacons did, up to the parking lot where they could have their post-prandial cigarette with the sinners. But that's all right, because we run them in out of the parking lot smoking with the sinners. We run them in past the strippers, through the vestibule, past the 20-year-old bowl of desiccated butter mints. We got them down front right now gathering up the plates to begin passing them around throughout the Horn Family Commune congregation as we begin the offertory hymn for this evening, the same as any given evening, the offertory hymn. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, just take that little plate as it passes by and push the little button in it that says PayPal, or you can use the traditional U.S. Postal Service mail address as well, remembering, of course, not to make anything payable to Bob Kincaid, as Bob Kincaid does not see that and does not, that's all Boss Man Wayne's end of things, and so anything should be made payable to the Horn or Head on Communications. With that understood, brethren and sistren, we will bring up the minister of music for our offertory hymn. Again, with every head bowed, oh, glory, and every eye closed, we begin this here Wednesday's prayer meeting service on the Horn.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, Mersey Dotes and Dozy Dotes and Little Lambsy Divey, a Kiddly Divey too. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Amen. Hallelujah. I love you. This here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. This is the Cathedral of Common Sense, and I'm a calling you, hop glory, brethren and sisters, get up off your seats, get onto your feet, and get out into the aisle, and come on down that blood red aisle, and fall upon your knees at the altar, and lay your hands upon the subwoofer, and feel the healing rays of common sense are flowing down to you and through you from the server on high. Amen, amen, glory. How this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and I am Arch Pope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Bob Kincaid. And I'm a-telling you, we have, oh, glory, brethren and sistren of the Horn Family Commune Congregation. We have tremendous, tremendous tales this evening, tremendous accounts, tremendous reports of the magnificent glory of the Lord and the power with which he suffuses his worshipers. Amen. Oh, you will be inspired, brethren and sistren. You'll be so inspired you might take to speaking in tongues. So I recommend right quickly, like you get your sacred hockey puck out. Glory. And you get out your sacred duct tape. Amen. With the little Jesus fish embossed upon it. Yes. Amen. Because we got it. We got it this evening. We bring it. We bring in the power on Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Oh, yes, we are. And we're going to get a start. Brother Steve just dropped an email into the interweb tubes. You know, it's not a big truck, glory. And said, Brother Steve said, I want to issue a challenge. This evening I will match the first $50 that comes in, and that'll take care of fundraising for the evening. So your 5 becomes 10, your 10, 20, your 20, 40, your 25, 50, however you want to do it. Whoever brings, just whatever combination that comes in the first $50, Brother Steve will match it. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Steve. I tell you what. The good book tells us that the Holy Spirit will deliver the power of discernment. You know, Chappie Klingenschmidt out in Colorado is forever discerning scriptures. And he's not going to be outdone, because I tell you what, when it comes to discerning, well, Marion Robertson, former liquor supply officer, he don't even need to discern scripture. He can just discern stuff right out of thin air. Yes, he can. Yes, he can, brethren and sistren, he can. What do I mean? Let me share with you. Pat Robertson sitting in a cool air-conditioned studio in Virginia Beach, Virginia, all the way across the continent from the heathens in the San Francisco Bay Area, brethren and sistren. He knows. God Almighty has told him why it is that one of America's most beloved funny men committed suicide. Yes. Yes, the Robin Williams passing has long, well, it's a couple of weeks gone now. But that doesn't necessarily matter because the Almighty worketh on a separate schedule. And Pat Robertson, Marion Robertson, former liquor supply officer, Brother Marion is right there to make everything clear for you through the lens of the grace that passeth all understanding and the loving glory of Christ Jesus and his daddy Jehovah. Listen up.
I would want them to see my religious side first and then realize that God's given me the talents to play baseball on top of that and use that for his glory.
What is your God? What is your God? Is it money? So when you get money, what's going to happen? Is it fame? So when you get fame, what's going to happen? You know, you see these very popular people in the media who...
Just one little note, brethren and sistren. I can't help taking into account the fact that when Brother Marion says, what is your God, the first thing he thinks of is his God, to wit, money. Yes.
Who commit suicide, like Robin Williams recently, and you say, what is the deal with him? What happened? You find people who are at the top of the game in music and they're strung out on drugs. What happened? What was their God?
Is Brother Marion trying to work the Seinfeld side of the street?
Robin Williams committed suicide. What's up with that?
Jesus. Oh, well. Like I said, it's not like I didn't tell you about the hockey puck and the duct tape. Told you you'd want it right there before you ever even got out of the pews and came down to the altar.
Well, you see, the God of the heathen are idols. And everything that you seek in life can ruin you unless that something and somebody is God himself. He can fill your every need, and he won't disappoint you, and you won't want to commit suicide after you have come to him.
That's a pretty broad statement. No Christian has ever committed suicide. Okay, Pat.
But I ask you right now, do you want the God of glory? Billy found the God of glory, changed his life. Don't let sports be your idol. Don't let sexual attraction be your idol. Don't let fame or money or any of these things be your God. But come to the Lord Jesus. And what he says to you right now, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You'll have rest in your soul. You'll find the true answer to life. Now, I'm going to lead you in prayer right now, and I want to ask you, if you want to have the God of glory lead your life, and you've just prayed a prayer. Now, what do you do next? What does it mean to have an exchanged life? What does it mean to be a new creature in Christ? I'll give you this. It's a real simple, compact disc, the kind of thing you can play in your CD changer in a car. Listen to it. Tell you what to do.
Oh, my God, I wonder about the back mastering. I love Pat. Pat is good. Turn me on, Pat Man. Turn me on, Pat Man.
I'll send this to you. But whether you want to give us your name or not, I want you to call right now. Telephone's available, 1-800-759-0700. Somebody's here who loves you, who cares about you. Pick up the phone and say, look, I just prayed with that guy on TV. I prayed with Pat. I gave my heart to the Lord. It's 1-800-759-0700. Wendy?
Yeah, we'll leave Wendy to her own devices for the time being. But you got that? I just want to make sure that we're all square on that. Robin Williams, in the seemingly ceaseless predation upon his remains, sweet and decent human being that he was. Robin Williams ended his own life because he was a heathen who worshipped false idols. Now, I'll just ask this, and I don't ask rhetorically. Anyone is free to respond. Why would anyone want to be a part of a religion that has Pat Robertson as one of its most vocal spokespeople? Why? Just beats the dickens out of me. Never mind the Parkinson's. Never mind whatever good reason he had. It was the heathens. I guess we're just lucky that it wasn't the demons this time. Or maybe they're demonic. Maybe the heathens are demons. It's kind of hard to tell after a while. Yeah. And then there's, speaking of the dead, there is, of course, Paul Crouch. Remember him over I forget which annoying Jesus channel it is, but he has gone on to his long home. But apparently he left a legacy behind him, this man of God, this advocate of the Prince of Peace, this missionary for Christ Jesus. And that legacy is one of, oddly enough, racketeering. A website called Muckrock obtained a number of documents about Paul Crouch and his Trinity Broadcasting Network there in north central Tennessee. Well, here's the headline over at muckrock.com. FBI files reveal that televangelist Paul Crouch had ties to, well, everybody. And by everybody, we mean the, the mafia, the mob, the Cosa Nostra. A particular mafia don by the name of Vincent Gigante and narcotics transfer of funds, otherwise known to the FBI as money laundering. Another document disclosed to Muckrock ties Paul Crouch to funds from the PLO to run guns via an Islamic education center in Baltimore, Maryland. Oh, maybe this isn't Tennessee. California-based Trinity Broadcasting Network. Oh, well. It's a fascinating look into the world of evangelism. Yeah. Muckrock.com. The Italian IRS and the FBI investigated Paul Crouch. The investigation centers on possible violation of the Italian MAMI law, M-A-M-M-I, which prohibits majority foreign ownership of Italian broadcasting companies. Huh, they still got one of those? I'll be damned. I guess Rupert hadn't gotten there yet. The investigation is also focusing on the legality of religious broadcasts promoting healing powers, followed by the solicitation of donations from viewers. Yeah. The Italian version of the IRS believes that Teletivere SRI, SRL, I'm not sure, may be acting as a front for foreign investors. And then, like I said, let's see. TBS, Trinity Broadcasting Service, was the subscriber of a number provided in an Omaha Airtel involving narcotics transfer of funds. TBS was also the subscriber of a number provided in response to a Baltimore Airtel captioned Islamic Education Center, IT Iran. Isn't this just fascinating? Crouch and the others were supposedly receiving funds from the PLO to run guns. These are all out of the FBI files. And then, well, TBN is referenced, recruited by the East German Intelligence Service. In contact with TBN in 1986, the number called, yada, yada, subscriber was TBN International Panorama, Channel 40, yada, yada, yada. This investigation involved narcotics and transfer of funds, money laundering, blah, blah. Visitors from Hungary listed TBN as his destination while in the United States. On and on and on. You know, because of the saving grace of Christ Jesus. Can't beat it. You really can't. Kate noting, brr and yuck. This old pig brings to mind a Jack Nicholson scene. Oh, which one, Kate? Which one? And the happy hippie Billy with a note. No Christian ever committed suicide. According to that book of myth, Jesus knew he was having to give his life. He allowed for it. Death by Roman? Well, there is that. Or the people who deliberately, you know, martyred themselves. Isaac noting via Twitter, in another document, Crouch is listed alongside Reverend Earl Polk and Oral Roberts as anti-Semitic supremacists. And we're surprised why? Oh, wait, we're not surprised. Yeah. Thanks to Sal for jumping in with this evening's challenge from Steve. So we've got 44 or 45 more dollars of matching funds available for those who want to get involved. Oh, yes, it is. It is a delightful prayer meeting Wednesday. And it really wouldn't be prayer meeting Wednesday if we didn't pay a visit to disgraced former Navy chaplain, pray in Jesus' name, Gordon Klingenschmidt. You know, those Clorox wipes they sell at the grocery store will often take care of your Klingenschmidt problem. So Chappie is now running for, as we may recall, Chappie's running for the Colorado State House, and he's worried. He's always worried. Chappie is about something. Quite often, demons. He can discern a demon. He can discern a demon at 50 paces. So he's using his tax-exempt 501c3 organization to fundraise for his political campaign. And even though he's not running against him, and he's not even running for the U.S. House of Representatives, Chappie has decided to politic on the back of Jared Polis from Colorado, a Democrat, who is also gay. Well, there, that's just two for one, isn't it? The email read, "The openly homosexual Congressman Jared Polis introduced a revised bill to force Christian employers and business owners to hire and promote homosexuals with zero religious exemptions for Christians who want to opt out. Polis wants sexual orientation and gender identity treated the same way as race, religion, sex, and national origin when it comes to employment protections," claims the advocate under the headline "Polis Trims Enda's Religious Exemption." Dr. Chapp's comment, "The open persecution of Christians," notice he thinks he's being persecuted, "is underway. Democrats like Polis want to bankrupt Christians who refuse to worship and endorse his sodomy." Anybody, and, you know, has anybody gay, straight, asexual, Q question, whatever? Has anybody ever seen anybody worship sodomy? I mean, I saw a clip from a 1959 German film by Fritz Lang in which Deborah Padgett danced with a puppet snake, but I don't think that was it. And I got to tell you, the puppet snake was freaking awesome. It's everything you expected in a puppet snake. I mean, there were German actors, speaking German, of course, done up with like sort of bricky looking makeup all over them to kind of make it. I got the idea that maybe the one of the scenes from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom was lifted directly from this film. But again, I don't think that qualifies as worshiping sodomy. And what I'd really like to do is see Chappie fired up with some sodium pentothal, maybe, and get him to explain to us what a sodomy worship looks like. Because there's just something about Chappie that makes you think that he's probably got it all worked out in his mind exactly what sodomy worship would be. And, well, if he could just be free to be the human being that he is, he might get into a little of that, you know. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. What's it like? Yeah, Paulus wants to bankrupt Christians who refuse to worship and endorse his sodomy. Next, here's the fun part. Do we still have our hockey pucks in? Good. Next, he'll join ISIS in beheading Christians, but not just in Syria. Right here in America. Yeah. And again, he's a spokesman for that international religion of peace and love and grace and forgiveness of sin and ew. That's okay. It's no skin off my ass. He's the one going to heaven. I'm not. Up there with Jerry Falwell and Oral Roberts and a whole bunch of different variously corrupt religious officials from, you know, about 300 of the current era forward. Yeah, right there, going straight to heaven. Y'all have a good time now. Yeah, do that. But it seems that man of God, Chappie Klingenschmidt, caught some heat over what he had said. You know, all about how Jared Polis wants people to bow down and worship his sodomy. Wouldn't that have, I mean, you'd have, it seems that there would at least be logistical problems. You have to have a pretty big room. You got to wonder about the sight lines. But let's check in now. Let's check in with Chappie and just see how it is he explains about how the homosexuals are going to bring ISIS over here to behead Christians right here in Merca. This ought to be good.
You know, this weekend I sent out an email alert to my constituents, and in that I used hyperbole. You know what hyperbole is? It's a literary device where you exaggerate to make a point. Well, apparently...
You mean like like saying that a guy got killed and then got up and got undead and went walking around for 40 days. That kind of, oh, no, 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 no. That's dogma, not hyperbole. Now, I read it to you. The direct quote from the email is Dr. Chaps' comment. Yeah, he's Dr. Chaps today. Not Reverend. No, no, he's Dr. Chaps. And by the way, Dr. Chaps, they're not your constituents yet. You hope they'll be your constituents. But they're not your constituents yet because, well, they have not gone to the polls and thus manifested themselves as being insane enough to send you to the Colorado State House. So let's just take it easy on that my constituents business. But it says, Dr. Chaps' comment. It doesn't say Dr. Chaps' hyperbole or Dr. Chaps' hyperbolic comment. It says Dr. Chaps' comment. The open persecution of Christians is underway. Is that hyperbole? Because hyperbole is, in a way, by virtue of being a very, very broad exaggeration, that's an admission that you weren't being exactly a truth teller. Is that the hyperbole part? The open persecution of Christians is underway. Period. Democrats like Paulus want to bankrupt Christians who refuse to worship and endorse his sodomy. Period. Is that the hyperbole? Or next, he'll join ISIS in beheading Christians, but not just in Syria, right here in America. So what he's saying is that Representative Jared Polis, a Democrat of Colorado, is going to travel to Syria to do some beheadings and then bring some of his ISIS buddies back here to do some beheadings here. That doesn't look hyperbolic to me either. But he got heat. How did he get heat? Well, it didn't play well with the Speaker of the Colorado House, a man named Mark Ferrandino, who condemned the remarks, and then reached out, Ferrandino did, to a man named Ryan Call, and, well, he said, I call on Ryan Call, I realize it's a little awkward, and other Republicans to denounce Mr. Klingenschmitt and his homophobic, extreme, and slanderous attacks against Congressman Paulus. This then triggered a response in the Colorado GOP, who have in the past frequently had to disown Chappie and had to disown him again. As Chairman Call has said in the past, Gordon, we're on a first-name basis, Gordon does not speak on behalf of the Republican Party, and his comments in no way reflect the views of the party. Oh, now really? Not even behind closed doors? Gordon needs to give a sincere apology. That via Owen Loftus, who is a spokesman for the Colorado GOP. Is it possible to disown somebody twice? I mean, once you've been disowned, don't you stay disowned? Or did he get back in the Colorado GOP's good graces? Or do the disownings sort of wear out like, you know, bread that's been on the shelf 2 or 3 days too long? Okay, so there's all our context, because we do know that Republicans are forever worrying about context. Back to Chappie.
Some Democrats do not have a sense of humor, and they were offended by some of the things I said. In that...
Wait, stop, huh? At first it was hyperbole, and now it's high comedy? Oh, gosh, I just got it, yeah. Oh, wrecked him, damn near killed him. Oh, golly, oh, mercy, that is a knee slapper. Just imagine Jared Polis getting on the plane and flying over to Damascus and getting his knife out and going and beheading people. And, oh, golly, Ned, I don't care who you are, that's funny. See, it's not Gore. You know, once again, another one of these fundamentalist, evangelical, religion industry Christians who cannot take the personal responsibility that his Savior says that we all have to take in order to receive grace, to have sins forgiven. One must repent. One must acknowledge the sin in order to be forgiven and then ask for forgiveness, if I understand the doctrine aright. Nope. No siree. It's the Democrats' fault because we don't understand good humor. We don't understand a real yuck-yuck funny. I mean, that's better than a pratfall, isn't it?
...alert to my constituents, and in that, I used hyperbole. You know what hyperbole is? It's a literary device where you exaggerate to make a point.
Because he's literary.
Apparently, some Democrats do not have a sense of humor, and they were offended by some of the things I said using hyperbole this weekend. So I want to issue a personal apology to you, Congressman Jared Polis. Even though you're an openly gay Democrat and you are passing policies that would persecute some Christian business owners here in America, I would never compare you to the ISIS rebels who behead Christians, right? Of course you would never go in for something like that. So,
huh? I apologize to you, Jared Polis. I apologize for the fact that you're a... Oh, my God. Wow, this is the non-apology apology taken to a high art form. I mean, this is the non-apology apology turned into an origami of a pterodactyl. Life size.
So, in the spirit of bipartisanship, I want to extend a hand to you. Listen, as a right-wing Christian minister, there are some things that you and I are just never going to agree on. But we can agree on charity. Can't we agree on caring for sick people? Here's my challenge to you.
I may have to get my own hockey puck. A challenge? Really? You get called out for your paranoid ravings in which you suggest that a sitting member of the Congress of the United States wants to behead Christians, and then you issue a non-apology apology, and there's going to be a challenge? Huh?
And I want to encourage you to donate to the ALS charity of your choice this weekend.
ALS charity of your choice? I thought the ALS was the charity. ALS... What, the ALS Foundation? Oh, my God, this is disgusting.
And I am going to write a check to the John Paul II Medical Research Institute, and together we are going to fight against ALS.
I don't think that's how it works. Now, I have seen a tremendous, and you know what, we can have an entire discussion about the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. I personally, I ascribe to the Patrick Stewart method, where you write the check, you pull the ice bucket over, you put a few cubes in a highball glass, and you pour in about two fingers of good scotch, and there you go. But no. Chappie is not going to give a goddamn nickel to the ALS Foundation. He's going to give it to the JP2 Institute for Health, which, and I know nothing about it, I admit it, this is pure speculation, I'm guessing is some sort of weird, freakish anti-abortion outfit. Anybody want to check that out?
I'm taking the Ice Bucket Challenge. Okay, so the challenge not only goes to you, Jared Polis, but the Speaker of the Colorado State House, Mark Ferrandino, and to you, the GOP Chairman, Ryan Call. God bless you in Jesus' name. You have 24 hours to either donate to the ALS charity or take the Ice Bucket Challenge yourself.
Why couldn't he have been wearing a microphone on it? That's mean, isn't it? There is no shame There is no shame among these right-wing religion industry evangelical fundamentalist gundamentalists. None whatsoever. None. Prayer meeting Wednesday. Par for the course. The usual. Oh, I mentioned, well, you know that sooner or later, somebody's going to get around to the demons. And somebody did. By the way, with the subject line, here's mud in your eye, from James. Single malt, none of that blended crap. No. No blends. No blends. Do these right-wing evangelicals just get together every morning and figure out what the talking point of the day is going to be? Because, you know, we got started with Marian Robertson. Claiming that Robin Williams committed suicide because he was a heathen. Mm-hmm. Let's check in with the man of perfect godly hair, that proud son of Stanford, Brian Fisher of the American Family Association of Tupelo, Mazlipistan. Shall we? Yep. This is fresh. This is today.
I think the chances were very, very good that Robin Williams was demonized, that Robin Williams was afflicted, oppressed by demons, and that Robin Williams himself acknowledged that. That Robin Williams himself acknowledged that his success as a comic, as a performer, was owed to the spirits that took him over when he stepped on the stage to perform. And in the end, it seems likely that these demonic spirits took him where all demonic spirits, where all emissaries of Satan want to take us, and that is to the place of hopelessness, despair, and death. Now, the world would say he was demon-possessed. Now, I don't use that terminology because it's not biblical. The biblical terminology is demons do not possess us, we possess demons. That's how it's always put in the Gospels. A man is described as having a demon or being demonized, being under the influence or the oppression of demonic spirits. But the way the world would phrase this is, was Robin Williams demon-possessed? And the answer to that question, using the vernacular, is very likely the answer to that question is yes.
What do you even say about something like that? It's the 21st century. This guy is an offense to the 21st century. Honest to Pete. If you stop for a moment, and this is part of the overall problem with organized religion, and especially religions that buy into demons and devils and what have you. It means that you cannot live in the natural world. It means that nothing is grounded. Nothing follows any set rules. I mean, Marion Robertson has told us in the past that you can get demon-possessed just buying the wrong sweater at the secondhand clothing store. You know, even if you take your Freedom Protector with you to the secondhand clothing store, it won't stop the demons. What was the name of that magnificent book that Carl Sagan wrote? The Demon-Haunted World. I'd be afraid to get out of bed in the morning. But I'd also be afraid to get into bed because there might be a demon under it. And it's not like you can always look underneath it and see, you know, some little green ghoulie from Ghostbusters. If they sincerely believe this crap, theirs must be a life of constant terror and torment. Because you never know when the demon's going to get you. I mean, it could turn out you're in the same zip code with a Ouija board, and there you go. Or maybe you sinned somehow or another, and that just opened up your little window of demon access. And, you know, some people go to the pet store and get a goldfish. People like Brian Fisher, well, you might walk by the pet store, and the next thing you know, you get a demon. But it's also handy. Because, for instance, in the brilliant comedy of Flip Wilson, you know, he had the character Geraldine, whose excuse was always, the devil made me do it. Christianity, it seems, for many people, is a constant excuse. Devil made me do it. I was weak. My faith lapsed. You know, Jesus walked on the water and called to Peter, and Peter took a few steps, and then he realized, hey, I'm walking on water. And boom, 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 boom. Could you give me a hand, please? But my faith was weak. It does. It just beats the dickens out of me. And for a religion that paints itself as being steeped and based in mercy and grace and love, to even say something like this to an audience of one, to even think it yourself to an audience of none, shows such a profound disregard for the grieving and the suffering. Of those who lived near and dear to an individual. Well, whoever wants to can go to heaven with Brian Fisher. Like I said, taking a pass. And all of this, all of this is just a beginning, because we're right here at the end of the first hour of this prayer meeting Wednesday edition of the Horn. And we got more. Oh, God, we got more. And by the way, do I sound angry? Because I'm not. I pity these people. I pity someone who can't take the garbage out to the curb for Monday garbage pickup without worrying that Asmodeus is gonna infest his spirit and send him back in, and suddenly he may become an axe murderer or a dope addict or a Democrat. So let's take our top of the hour break. The phone lines are always open, of course, 304-574-8178, 304-574-8178. Or Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn. Either way works just dandy. Email comes into bobkincaid@gmail.com, at Bob Kincaid on Twitter, and Bob Kincaid and the Horn, the H period, O period, R period, N period, the Horn, on Facebook. Participate any given way you choose. Meanwhile, there is $45 remaining from Steve's Prayer Meeting Wednesday challenge on the table, and if we can get $45 more, we will be done with fundraising for the evening. And wouldn't that be lovely? So yeah, break time. Jump in with your calls, your thoughts, your emails, however you please. Come on into the chat room. Nice group going in there. Nice group going in there right now. Let's check in. Oh, yeah, nice group. Good evening, Todd. Good evening, Tim from L.A., Texas T, Stockton, Larry, Sergi, R. Kellison, Pippi, Paul, M. Brandt, Kathy, John, C.A. Sykes, Anatole, and yes, chat room moderator Sparky. Plenty of room for anybody else wants to jump in, too. You are heartily welcomed to do so. Conversation radio is what we call what we do here. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. Decoration Day album, Drive-By Truckers, Patron Saint Band of the Horn, and Heathens. Thanks going out to Robert for answering a portion of Steve's Prayer Meeting Wednesday challenge. We have $35 more in matching funds available to finish off fundraising for the evening. Thank you very much, Robert. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, Edward. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I just want to let you know that the American Bar Association is demon-possessed.
Really? Well, I mean, yep. Am I surprised?
Well, they have banned discrimination against LGBT individuals.
Oh, absolutely. Yep, that's a demon.
Yep, they're demon-possessed.
Does this demon come with a disco ball or anything? I mean, since it's...
the Bar Association comes with probably a gallon of scotch.
And a straw.
Yeah, I've been around lawyers too long.
Well, you know why sharks don't eat lawyers, right, Edward?
No.
Professional courtesy.
Truer words were never spoke. Oh, you all were talking about Dorothy Parker the other evening. I love Dorothy Parker. When she was told that Calvin Coolidge had died, she said, "How can they tell?"
That's another great one. Yep.
No, I love her.
Just for general purposes, my favorite Dorothy Parker quote is, "What fresh hell is this?" Because it's just universally applicable.
Yes. Well, I also wanted to tell you something most people don't know about. I had two friends at the University of Oklahoma, and we were in school there, and we graduated, and I went to a university to work, and Mike went to a public library, and his partner, Jack, went to law school, and Jack graduated from law school and then moved to Minneapolis, and Jack sued to legalize same-sex marriage, and this was 1972, 42 years ago. And the style of the case is Baker v. Nelson, if anybody wants to look it up. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they refused certiorari on it. And I even looked at the briefs and everything, which had to be bound in leather. It's a wonder the Supreme Court doesn't require that the printing be done on vellum so it won't soil their little fingers.
Oh, yes.
But anyway, that happened in 1972, and we have been working on it ever since, and finally, some of it is coming true. Finally, after 42 years.
Finally, yeah. struggles for social justice, economic justice, cultural justice, gender justice, environmental justice. I think it all falls under human rights, as far as I'm concerned.
It does.
These are things for which people must be committed for the long haul, Edward, and must understand that it may wind up being transgenerational.
Oh yeah. I was relatively young when I went to met Mike and Jack at the University of Oklahoma back in the, can I say the 60s?
Which it seems like a million years ago, doesn't it?
Actually, it doesn't. It seems like yesterday. As my Aunt Ollie Land used to say, the older you get, the faster time flies. And boy, was she right.
I think the relativity of time that Einstein talked about may simply be proven in watching a child grow up. Because
how about it?
Our youngest is a high school senior now, and I've still got a photograph of her sitting in her first chair, of her first desk, of her first day of kindergarten, and I'm pretty sure that was yesterday, Edward.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm the same way. My cousin Sylvia and I walked to school first day for the first grade holding hands, and we were 6 years old. And we're both now in our late 70s.
Gracious.
So it passes real fast. Oh, I did want to tell you, our one and only Governor Rick Perry, you know, he's having his mug shot put on T-shirts, and he's charging $25 a piece for them. It goes to his election campaign.
You know what? You know what sort of stymies me out of that whole thing? It's being portrayed by the poor put upon Republicans, Edward, as a democratic ploy, just dirty, nasty politics that Democrats did. The only problem is the prosecutor is a Republican and was appointed by a Republican judge. Now, how does that turn?
Yeah, and also,
how does that work?
Well, it works fine here in Texas, I think. Like there are two people that Republicans that he appointed that were caught DWI, and never a word was spoke.
Of course not.
Oh no, not one word. But anyway, Rick Perry's you can get a T-shirt with his face on it, his mug shot. We here in Texas refer to it as his smug shot. He's looking real smug.
Oh, I've seen the photograph, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my. Well, you take care. I'll let you go. I just wanted to call and yell at you to let you know I was still among the living.
Well, I'm glad you did. I am glad indeed, Edward, and I hope we hear from you real soon. You take care.
Yeah. And
give our best to everybody down that way.
Well, I hope somebody checks out Baker. Where are we? Baker v. Nelson, if they want to know about the very beginnings of lawsuits for gay rights in this country.
Baker v. Nelson. I'm going to go and read it after the program.
Okie dokie.
All right.
And I held the briefs that they submitted to the Supreme Court in my own hand.
Wow.
Long time ago.
A brush with history.
How about it?
Edward, have yourself a good evening. Bye now.
Good evening to you, too.
Our buddy Edward calling from the Dallas area. Lines are open. Remember, just a little reminder, we're only operating on one line now, so if somebody's on, you can't get on until they're done. So 304-574-8178 or Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, Skype to Skype. Easy, easy, easy. Now, come on, Marty. Marty says, you mean your daughter hasn't found and burned that picture yet? That's a precious photograph. No, and she was adorable. She's been adorable since the day she was born. And remains so to this day. Of course, I'm kind of biased, and I'm biased about all of our youngins. But you'll have that. All right, back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
What's up, Bob?
What's happening, Jim?
Oh, not much. I'm off today from my great job with the great recovery.
Well, God, it's 90. It's 90 degrees in here. Is it as hot down there as it is in the studio sauna here?
Yeah. No, it's actually it's kind of cool. We just had a little rain. The humidity really hadn't gotten too bad. So it's really good. All things considered. But one reason I called was a couple reasons. You know JC, Jesus Christ, our alleged Lord and Savior. You know, his best trick was swimming on land. That was his best trick. That walking on water, nothing. No. When you saw him swim on land, he was incredible.
Oh, you're just teasing the lightning bolts now, aren't you, Jim?
That comes from basically a line from, you ever heard of King Missile?
Mm-mm.
He had an album from, 20 years, God, I'm getting old, 20-some-odd years ago, Mystical Shit. It was basically a spoken word. You know, Jesus was way cool. He was so cool, he could turn weed into marijuana, sugar into cocaine, vitamin pills into amphetamines. It is so cool. You could walk on water and swim on land. That
and see the show.
But I was on the internet, since I'm slowly crawling into the 21st century, but and the other night, and I looked at checked out Bill Hicks.
The prophet, peace be upon him, yes.
Peace be upon him. He's awesome, dude. I mean, I forgot how great he was. I didn't forget, but it's just like a reminder how great he was. I mean, stuff he was talking about 20 years ago is, you know, kind of come to fruition in spades, you know, in aces, you know, spades, aces, diamonds, whatever, whatever face, whatever suit you want to call. And it's just frustrating to try, you know, dealing, especially since most of my family is like, pretty much totally right-wing fascist, and I mean that in the best way possible. But it's, you know, I mean, it's like down here we got Mary Lander running against, I don't even know who she's running against, but she's not much of an option, but, you know, for the Senate, but you got to keep the Democratic majority, so, you know, she's got to keep a conservative edge. And that's why I didn't run for Senate. I don't think my radical ideas would pan out too well. Although I was trying to think about a way of going back in a time machine and bringing everybody with us to the Huey Long days. Huey P. Long.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. It's strange to see how political attitude shifted. You know, Huey was very much of a populist streak. I think we would recognize him today as a straight up socialist. He was actually further to the left than anybody in our government now. He's further to the left than say Bernie Sanders. And he was certainly further to the left than FDR, and gave FDR unmitigated hell for not being left enough.
Yeah, in fact, I heard Bernie Sanders is considering running, you know, for the presidency. Yeah, I saw that on your pal of mine, Ed Schultz. I happened to see that today on MSNBC. And I definitely, you know, I mean, right now, two candidates I like, and one, you know, is him. I like Jesse Ventura too, but
Jesse's never going to get national traction, though.
I know. Well, it's going to be a hard deal for Bernie. I mean, although he's what he was talking about on Ed Schultz, I'm gonna call him, I gotta know him, Ed Schultz's show. Talking about like the, getting the, he's going visiting other places and very unfriendly areas, technically, when actually he could do the most if he got in and had a House and Senate. But, I mean, that's the other thing that's frustrating as hell. I mean, Obama, you know, I think he's done a halfway decent job, but when you consider what he's been dealing with the Republican-controlled Congress, or in lower level, lower House, what is that, the Reps, House of Representatives, I think he's done pretty good. I mean, there's a lot of things I'm not thrilled about Obama, but, you know, you got to consider reality, you know?
Well, yeah, you do. I mean, you can't, I don't know. I can't live in that demon haunted world that we were referencing earlier. I just can't, Jim. I can't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Hillary gets the nomination, which it looks like it's probable, but I might.
Well, time out, Jim. Time out. She has to announce her candidacy first.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that drives me a little bit crazy out of all this. I don't like presumptive reporting. That's exactly what we've got here. We are talking in 2014, before the midterm elections of November even take place, we're talking about the 2016 presidential election, in which there are no, to the best of my knowledge, declared candidates.
Yeah. That's true. Another Schultz plug, I'm really not there's certain type of quote-unquote liberals, although I don't like liberals, I like left-wing socialists. Like you and Malloy. Y'all are my hope to reality. Or optimism. Shaded as it is, 50 shades of gray, well, okay. Might be 75 with me. But that's just what I'm pondering. Getting ready to fix a hamburger with a little food porn.
Yeah.
Hamburgers with some a little cheeseburger with some Gouda cheese and some taters. We'll go to cheese on that.
That'll be nice. That'll be plenty good.
Tony Satry's little garlic sauce.
I love my Tony.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
All right, well,
I put it in tomato juice.
I hear you.
Little
but, well,
little.
Even then, what do you get? Like V8 or not V8? That would be.
My very favorite tomato juice, and it's worth looking around for if you can get it, is Red Gold. Red Gold brand tomato juice, not from concentrate, comes out of Indiana.
Wow!
And it's got a right off the vine taste to it.
I doubt very seriously if we have that around here.
I bought it in Alabama.
Well, you can get it in Alabama, Stan. You should be able to get it anywhere.
Do y'all have Kroger down there?
What's that? Kroger?
Yeah, Kroger, the grocery chain.
I think there is one.
Kroger carried it. I know that. And of course, the thing with Kroger is they won't tell their shoppers not to bring their freaking assault rifles to go grocery shopping. So you are kind of taking your life in your hands when you go to Kroger. But for not from concentrate, really good tomato juice, maybe it's worth it.
Well, as great Neil Young so aptly put, keep on rocking in the free world, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, but I use the Red Gold tomato juice and a little blast of Tony Sasheries and a lot of drops of Cholula hot sauce. And then if I'm going all the way for the Bloody Mary mix or the Bloody Marias, I prefer it with tequila. A little bit of Campbell's beef bouillon and a nice spoonful of horseradish and just give it a good shake. Yeah.
Well,
I'm sure what ails
you. Do you need any vodka to that, or I guess tequila? You like tequila better?
Yeah, I like tequila better in a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, fine. I can't really drink it. I mean, straight, I have to.
Oh, I saw. By the way, I saw where your governor Jim filed a lawsuit against the demon possessed Common Core standards.
Don't get me started on this asshole MF-er government run by this nitwit, voted in by a plethora of nitwits. It's embarrassing. That's why. I'm trying to work on a way to get the F out of here somehow. I don't know where. Colorado sounds really good. Maybe back to Vegas. Although I heard one of your callers is, well, why? I don't know. I just like Las Vegas. I mean, once you live there, it's kind of everything open 24/7. Blah, blah, blah. It's, and I just love the desert climate. You know, which brings me back to something Malay was talking about a couple of days ago. I know, I realize I'm intersecting shows, but about, like, the drought going on out there, and it doesn't seem like it's getting better, and that's giving me cause for thought. But even then, up in Colorado, that's, you know, it's, I'm not sure about their drought situation. But, you know, it's something to consider. And, then, like, another thing, Pat, before I go, is like, you know, like, growing up in New Orleans around the Mississippi River.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, that's a river. That's what you consider a river. But I've been to London. I've seen the Thames, and it's a tiny river compared to the Mississippi. Well, everything is, except maybe the Amazon and the Nile. But, you know, like the Thames is, I mean, I remember what I was
I don't know. The Columbia River is not exactly a ditch.
Okay.
The Columbia probably deserves mention. Some parts of the Missouri.
Okay, and then when I was, where was the other place? Oh, up in Colorado, up around Colorado. I don't know if it was a Snake or some other river. I can't think of the name. It was kind of, I mean, small relative to the Mississippi. I mean, it almost looks like a bayou. I mean, that's, I used to work in the Mississippi when I was a young whippersnapper, you know, on a riverboat. And to me, that's a river. But, you know, I guess everything, or I guess the Nile, is the Nile the biggest river, longest river, or is it the Amazon?
Amazon. I think the Amazon, yeah. The Nile is the oldest. The second oldest river in the world is flowing about 3 miles as the crow flies from me.
And one last thing. The great thing about the rivers is the way we're just dumping in every kind of crap we can, as you've experienced with the, you know, your little...
little water, the freedom disaster?
Yeah, the freedom disaster, exactly. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
But I'm going to let you go, let somebody else get on.
All right, Jim, enjoy your burger and have yourself a good evening.
And I'll send you that $50. It'll probably be tomorrow through either PayPal or I'll use my other debit card. Check you later.
All right, take care, Jim. Thanks so much. Bye now. Our buddy Jim calling from Louisiana Stan. So the line is once again open, 304-574-8178. And lo and behold, okay, we'll just keep it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
Gee, that was quick.
Was it?
Yeah, well, I don't have too much to say tonight because one of the family was over here trying to install a new computer that my buddy bought, and damn thing comes up dead.
Oh, no.
Nah, because you don't do anything with these things anymore. It's not like the days when you had to install the operating system. It's already there, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not working. And that kind of figures because the guy that bought it is this guy that's been helping me by selling CDs. I wish he'd help me with a little of the money, but that's another story. You know me, but I'm still a vicious little son of a... Yes. I don't have too much to say tonight, but I just wanted to touch base for a minute. I heard a show the other night, which I thought you'd get a kick out. It was on the local classical music and broadcasting station that is PBS is their background. And they had a show on the thing that was... It followed Archduke Ferdinand and his wife, Sophie, and it ends up with this guy, Princip, shooting them. And what a piece of drama work it was. I don't know if I talked about it before. Today I was missing the show because a lot of my buddy was working on me. When he opens this thing up and it doesn't work, I said, man, has this been the story of my life in recent years? What the hell's going on here?
Maybe. Well, yeah, but hopefully they'll get that sorted, Bill.
Yeah. Well, they'll come back Monday and Labor Day and finish it. But that's what happens. He said that he thought these people checked this stuff before they put it out on the shelves, but they don't. Here it is. Take it or leave it, you know? It's the way they sell things today. If they sold me a car like that, I'd been back there with a Mossberg in my hand. Anyway, I got a roll, my friend. You hang in there and keep going.
All right, take Bill. Care. Thank you a bunch. You have a good night, and good luck with the machine.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
See ya. Our buddy Bill, Mr. Stress, calling from Cleveland with computer troubles. And hopefully they will indeed get sorted out. So you see how easy it is, this here Conversation Radio, 304-574-8178. If you want to participate in the program, you're welcome to jump right in. Let's see here. Where to go? Oh, yes. How about this? From the Freedom Protector files, and it ain't funny. There is absolutely nothing funny about this. Okay, maybe we had a little bit of a tiny little microscopic giggle about the guy who shot himself in his... Well, anyway. With his wife's gun because he couldn't go into the grocery store without a firearm, and he just tucked it in the waistband, and boom! Goodbye, little friend. Yeah, say goodbye to my little friend. But there's nothing funny about this. And for the life of me, I can't understand how this whole scenario even unfolds. The story comes, of course, from Arizona, Stan. And it's a story of a gun. And it's the story of a 9-year-old and a grown-up and a professional firearms instructor in White Hill, Arizona. Arizona is apparently about an hour southeast of Las Vegas. Our buddy Benny posted this story. And one morning, and see, the reason the story is difficult to tell is because I just, for the life of me, can't make it work in reality. I can't get my head around mommy or daddy or, you know, you get Precious Lumpkin up and you say, come on, baby, we're going to have us some quality time. We're going down to the gun range to learn how to protect freedom. Now, bear in mind, earlier today I was running up to the Wiggling Pig for supplies and... driving along, I noticed, what was probably an 8-9-year-old kid walking out behind his house with a .22 rifle in his hands. I hate to say it, but that's kind of the culture around here, .22 rifle. And I desperately want to believe that daddy or grandpa or maybe even mama have long since taught the little feller how to safely use the .22, and I mean that's a hope against hope, right? I hope I don't get up in the morning and read some local news alert: 9-year-old shoots 11-year-old with .22 rifle. But this is not that. This is getting the 9-year-old daughter up in the morning and saying, come on, we're going to go to the gun range and do some freedom protecting, and you're going to learn how to protect freedom with a sure enough automatic weapon. Because that's what happened. Charles Vaca, 39 years old, was standing next to a young girl this past Monday morning teaching her how to shoot an Uzi. Not a little tin can plinker .22, not to downplay the potentially deadly effects of a .22, but an Uzi. I mean, a .22 has a little bit of recoil to it. But what happened with the little girl, the little 9-year-old girl, who was being taught to use the Uzi? Well, she wasn't strong enough to hold the firearm down vis-a-vis the recoil after the burst. So, and it flies up, and it blows away Charles Vacca, the 39-year-old firearms instructor. I mean, kills him. Wolverines! Can you sort that out? Because I can't. I can't. You know, it happened on Monday morning. So Sunday night, Mama and Daddy are sitting around. Well, what should we do Monday? Well, let's take baby to the gun range. In an effort to create some sort of existential cushion between what happened and that, well, Mojave County Sheriff Jim McCabe told the Las Vegas Review-Journal that the girl had safely fired the gun many times when it was set in the single-shot mode. Bam! 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 But then the gun was put into fully automatic mode, and that's when it recoiled and fired off multiple rounds. Notice that it recoiled and fired off multiple rounds, not the 9-year-old girl into whose hands it had been placed. And I don't want to appear to be sexist or stereotyping roles or anything, but God Almighty, couldn't they have taken her out to ride a horse? Or being as how it's Arizona and a freaking desert, maybe a trip to the swimming pool. I'm utterly divorced from the reality of this culture. Does it? You tell me if you know anything about gun goober culture. Is there an America where a little 9-year-old girl on Sunday night says, "Daddy, would you take me to shoot the Uzi again tomorrow morning? I like that." They were on vacation. The family was. From New Jersey. And what, they're in the hotel and, you know, there's that shelf there of, see the, with all the pamphlets, see the Grand Canyon, see the glories of Vegas. Come shoot an Uzi. Hey, let's do that one. Well, I was kind of hoping for the water slide. Oh, shut up, you're no fun. We're gonna go shoot the Uzi. This all took place in an area called Last Stop, Arizona. And the name of the shooting range is Burgers and Bullets. No, really. Well, that just sounds kid-friendly, doesn't it? But this is America. This is a gunned-up, paranoid, freaked-out America where you can't go to the Rippy Mart without having to get a can of Copenhagen without strapping on, you know, your 40 millimeter. Or your 40 caliber. Jesus, a 40 millimeter would be hard to carry around, wouldn't it? Or maybe your 9 millimeter. And of course, this is just an unfortunate accident. It has nothing to do with the fact that we got guns, and freedom protectors, and Gadsden flag carriers, and cranky old unreconstructed land grabbing Mormon settlers in Bunkerville, and his his buddies with the scopes and the crosshairs that they put on the heads of Bureau of Land Management agents. And teenagers who get shot down in the street in Missouri and who are then described by right-wingers as, he wasn't an unarmed man. He wasn't an unarmed teenager. He was huge. His size alone was enough to make him dangerous. No, really. Really. Or maybe the police in Georgia. The police in Georgia who tasered. Who tasered Gregory Towns after he was already in handcuffs. They used the taser 13 times as a cattle prod because he couldn't walk. And then Gregory Towns died. That was April 11th. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, brother, what's going on?
Hey, Angry, what's happening?
Well, I don't know. Burgers and bullets, man. Burgers and bullets.
Doesn't that just send you screaming out into the yard?
Burgers and fucking bullets. It's like, you know, how...
See? Okay, I'm not alone.
No, it's so American, I can't believe it. It's just like when that couple, that crazy clown couple, like I told you, I was, you know, I was writing something, and then Missouri happened, and then everything else has been happening, but it all ends up tying back into it. You know, you had Walmart. That's where that crazy clown couple in Las Vegas went nuts. Shot two police officers,
right.
Shot all these people, and then shot themselves, you know, like JT Reddy kills his family, then kills himself. You know, it just seems that America, in terms of, you know, America, first off, is not the United States, but in terms of people living in the United States, and Canada, for that matter, because since they've had Harper, they've been going just as insane. You know, when he was asked about the missing indigenous women up in his part of this continent, his answer was, well, yeah, there's a lot of indigenous women missing, but there's a whole lot that aren't missing either.
Oh, the power of the logic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was Bush light, but now he seems to be Bush full on. So it's, you know, it's the same thing. But, you know, the fact that this is the second case that I've heard of a child who was handling a field-grade weapon at a gun show, or in this case a gun range. In the first case, the child killed himself. The recoil, he took his own head off. In this case, it was the instructor. But why is a child on vacation handling an Israeli-made weapon that has only one use? You cannot hunt with an Uzi.
Yep.
It only has one purpose. Why would you want to give this to your child?
See, that's where I can't get to, Angry. You've come all the way from New Jersey to Arizona on vacation. Because I guess the Jersey Shore is just boring or whatever, but you've gone to the middle of the desert from New Jersey on vacation. I mean, there's lots of stuff to do, right? I mean, never having been to Arizona, but I'm assuming there's a lot of really neat kind of Arizona kind of stuff to do.
Yeah, you can watch the immigrants that they catch being marched down the road in pink jumpsuits. You can look at the mural that they tried to whiten, you know, and then they had to revert it back to the brown faces that it originally was. Yeah, that's more than likely why they went to Arizona. You know, Joe Arpaio, Steven Seagal is now a police officer there because he can't be a police officer in Louisiana. And I'm sorry I interrupted, but yeah, I'm just saying.
No, you didn't. You didn't interrupt anything.
You know.
I mean, that's like I got a note in from our buddy Michael, otherwise known as Kid A, when he's in the chat room. Subject line, Angry, is it fired? Michael writes, just checking. Did I hear that reportage correctly? Did you say it fired? Yeah, because that's what the article said. Because Michael says, I've been told guns don't kill people. 9-year-old girls kill people. I mean, can you imagine how do you, that was Monday. You know what? The 9-year-old little girl is not okay.
She can't be. That's impossible. And she's going to live with this for the rest of her life.
When is she going to be okay?
Well, I don't know. See, if she's growing up in a society that tells her, well, the real fault was, you know, the instructor just gave you the wrong weapon. You know, then, you know, it's not your fault. It's,
oh, no,
you know,
no,
it's
no.
Just one of these gun things.
No, Angry, wait. Because the Mojave County Sheriff already gave the excuse. She had already successfully fired, because I guess this is how it works at Burgers and Bullets. She had already successfully fired the Uzi in single shot mode.
Yeah, so that just means she automatically knows what to do when it's in, what, 3-round, full auto, whatever it is? Yeah, you know, again, what's the point? I mean, you have Israelis that talk this same sort of nonsense, that, you know, they need to, you know, be able to put them on the field as commandos as early as 10, because, you know, the Palestinians train theirs as early as 10, and then they'll point to the Intifada as proof that, you know, everybody's just on war mode all the time. And, I mean, there's a lot of things that we can say about this, and we can get really philosophical about it, and we can point to a lot of historical reasons.
I mean, can we speculate? And this is just rank, rotten speculation. But, okay, so let's presume that it is mommy and daddy and daughter. Who, please, just based on probably statistical likelihoods, you want to take a run at the ethnicity here?
In whose ethnicity?
The family's ethnicity from New Jersey that went to Arizona to Bullets and Burgers and Bullets.
You mean they weren't Anglo-Saxon Caucasians like Willard Romney, Bishop Romney?
No, I'm guessing they are. And so, having speculated upon that, let us continue to speculate. Who's
I don't like crime and violence, but hey.
Yeah. Okay. So whose idea? And you get a pick. You know, there's three choices here: mommy, daddy, 9-year-old little girl. Whose idea was going to Bullets, Bombs, Burgers, and Bullets? See, I mean, I can't even let that live in my brain. Whose idea was it to go to Burgers and Bullets on vacation? Mommy, A. B. Daddy, C. 9-year-old little girl.
There's no D?
No D, sorry. I mean, I guess there could be all of the above, but somebody has to have the idea first, right, Angry?
Well, yeah, but it would be stereotypical to say it would be the father. I haven't really read too much deeply into this because I was disgusted after I read, you know, like the first three lines. Well, what was it, the mother?
No, that's what I said. This is just rank speculation, but I mean, I'm utterly separate from this culture. That's the thing. I don't understand that's the point of this. I don't understand my country anymore.
Yeah,
so,
but
maybe it was mama. But
well, it could have been, but actually you do. I mean, you have the professor that comes on Head On Radio Network, for those of you who are piping in and don't know what you're listening to, and I do hope you contribute to this. There's a professor that comes on and explains American history pretty much from the ground up. And if you really look into the literature at the time, that the popular media, you know, artwork, pulp novels, just newspaper articles, early radio, the telegraph, you have to be careful because the Indians are coming, the blacks are going to revolt, whether they're slaves or whether they're free, you can't trust anybody, the French are coming. There's always somebody to be fearful of. You're stealing. But, you know, the Mexicans are coming for what you have, even though you're actually siphoning from them. You know, there's always been this. So, you know, really, we shouldn't be surprised about any of this. We shouldn't be surprised about what happened in Ferguson. And we shouldn't be surprised that we've gotten to the point in the 21st century, after Hitler, all right, after Mussolini, after Franco, that, you know, to the point where we have 9-year-olds who are going on vacation, with their parents' permission, obviously, to take their child to a range where she accidentally kills the instructor because, you know, she was able to handle single shot and now it's on full auto or whatever the hell it was set to. And, you know, she couldn't handle the recoil and she ended up taking off this guy's noggin. And we're just supposed to look at this as rational people and say to ourselves that, you know, we're still on top. You know, because we've always been on top, basically because we've always said so. And we never discussed how we had to do this and the war psychology that you have to have in order for this to be. To me, if you have a white family that's coming from New Jersey, which is already conservative, this is the land of Chris Christie, okay? If you have somebody coming from New Jersey, goes to Arizona, they're looking for even more conservatism. I know conservatives who have moved to Arizona, including some black people. They got their concealed weapon permits. They're all ex-military. They marry, you know, I'm just saying this. They're black fellas. They marry white women. And, you know, they moved to Arizona because they feel at this point they were untouchable. And now they're talking about, yeah, I'm going to apply for the police department down here. I'm going to apply for this. This is a mentality. And we have movies to talk violence all the time. All they do is show violence. We have games like this. The music is like this. And then we ask ourselves stupid questions. And then we look at Christian history and we look at the Bible itself, which is one of the most genocidal and violent books in the English language, right? Or in any language. And we keep saying to ourselves, oh, there's no violence here. You know, I mean, what? Israel just got violent? Israel was violent when it was founded. The Canaanites were there. This isn't me. This is in the Bible. They wiped out two people on the way over there. And they say that this is theirs. And, you know, they have to fight for this because the Romans came in. And then, you know, now they're blaming Islam for everything. And they're blaming Muslims in particular as an ethnic race for everything.
Well, I mean, again, but back up. I mean, historically, let's see. We've got, and this is just stuff that's accounted for in the Old Testament. You've got the Assyrians. You've got the Babylonians. Mm-hmm. You've got the Egyptians. Then you're fresh out of Old Testament. Well, no. If you count Maccabees, you've got the Hellenistic Greeks.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you're fresh out of Bible, and you got to move over to the New Testament, and you got the Romans.
Mm-hmm. And which is a European power, right?
So were the Greeks.
So were the Greeks. Yeah.
Well,
depending on where you draw the line on Europe, that's still an argument in Europe.
Well,
Greeks were not. Well, hey, when they started having the street riots. For the austerity, this is before the Golden Dawn started killing people. And you notice that the American press hasn't said anything about that.
Yeah, crickets.
Yeah, the Golden Dawn has an office in New York City. You know, I just want you to know that. They were allowed to do that after Breivik. They were allowed to do that. That was one of the groups that he was connected to. And they were allowed to do that. So, you know, when they were rioting, not, you know, for the austerity and not, you know, the racism violence, but when they started marching for austerity, Fox News was questioning whether or not they were European. Were they really members of the EU fully? They're kind of close to Turkey, aren't they? Isn't Cyprus over there?
Yeah, well, kind of. Yeah.
This was the language that they were using. And even the white supremacists in the United States, because I've sent you this article before, they do not believe that the leader of the Golden Dawn is white enough. They think he's too Semitic, that he's too dark, he's too Arab to really be a white man. You know,
too
they support his movement, but they don't like him.
Oh, I got to share something with you. This just popped up in the chat room. Our friend Carol Baker is in there this evening. And
she was great last night, by the way. Thank you, Carol, for coming on.
She was awesome. She just typed into the chat room, a young black man in Ferguson told me a joke. How many cops does it take to change a light bulb? Answer, none. They just beat the room for being black.
Mm.
It ain't funny, but it is.
Yeah, but look at where it came from. You know, the Polish jokes, right?
That's a joke being told in that community.
No, but what I'm getting to here is the social political thing that, you know, those jokes, you know, on Polish stupidity, you don't really hear them too much anymore. And a lot of people think that, oh, well, we just grew out of it. No, that's not true.
No, they got transposed.
They got transposed in a lot of ways. But one of the other things is a lot of Polish people eventually, at least within their communities, and I'm speaking of Pennsylvania because that's what I know best, became police officers, became lawyers, became part of the establishment. You weren't allowed to say those jokes anymore. You understand what I'm saying? They used to say the same thing about Italians when I was a kid. You know, that, you know, every Italian was in the mafia. And it was hard for a lot of Italians to get jobs outside.
Well, I mean, let's remember that whether it be the Irish or the Italians or, you know, pick out your poor and downtrodden European immigrant group, At the time, whenever the wave of that immigration happened in the United States, they weren't white folks.
Yeah, not according to the United States government, no.
Well, and according to the communities into which they moved.
Into which they moved. Yeah, but I'm just saying as far as
Irish need not apply.
As far as Ellis Island goes, Italians, you know, they had a hard time getting in here. Anyone that they deemed swarthy was stopped, you know, and checked extra for lice and for anarchism, you know. They wanted to know their politics before they came in. There were limits on Chinese, Russians, Filipinos. Yeah, you know, I mean, all of these prejudices, well, Eastern Europeans mostly in terms of Europeans, you know, all of these prejudices come from, again, the same thing. Western Europe historically has always exploited Eastern Europe. So, you know, you always have to worry about them coming back for what's theirs, right, for what was taken from them. You know, people have historically used the Scots-Irish as cannon fodder to move into territories. And then as soon as the, you know, Scots-Irish start asking for what's theirs, then he start, you know, going after the Scots-Irish, right? You know, so you're good as long as you stay in the mines. Because I heard somebody mention the kingfish not too long ago.
Yep.
And, you know, you're good enough if you, you know, you stay within your place. And, you know, I mean, people can look at Jack Foxworthy and hee-haw, and we've joked about that on the show. But the thing is, these are real ethnic barriers. And because the United States has this really fluctuating and arbitrary sense of racism, you know, the one drop rule affects me, even though when I'm around native people, they accept me, right? And I can be confused for this, that, and the other, but because of the one drop rule, it is illegal for me technically to say that I'm anything else. You know, which is not something that the average white person necessarily has to think about.
No.
You know, whereas...
No, and as long as the hillbillies stay in the mines, we're useful.
Yeah, as long as you do that.
But the problem in Appalachia, Angry, is that we're fresh out of mines to go into. So what are they going to do with us next? I mean, there is a reason that on a per capita percentage or on a statistically expressed basis, Central Appalachia has given more in terms of lives to every war in the United States has ever waged than any other region in the country. Because, you know, one, we're cranky, and two, you know, hell, it beats getting gassed or blown up in a hole.
Yeah, but the bottom line comes down to you come from a community, socially, on the social register, yeah, at least in this country, right, that is on the bottom, at least for white folks.
Yeah.
You know? You're on the bottom. So, you know, the further you are down in that pecking order, nobody really gives a damn, you know.
Well, let's remember that, I mean, and we could go, you know, I think Carol mentioned last night Chicago 1968. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's Watts.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but look at that. Chicago 7 or Chicago 8.
Yeah. Well, what I was getting at is, and you know, Detroit, Oakland, you know, places where the force of government has come down with a boot on expressions of civil discontent. Well, let's remember 1921 is the only time that the United States has mobilized its air force to bomb its own citizens.
Well, you're going to have to refresh me on that one.
That's the Battle of Blair Mountain when discontent coal miners decided that they were by God.
Use planes, though.
Oh hell yeah, Billy Mitchell had his brand new theory of aerial superiority, and he was.
Did you say Billy Mitchell?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the name I know. All right.
Yeah, he had his brand new theory of aerial superiority, and he was allowed to test it out on the hillbillies.
Oh, I didn't know that.
in fact, the Blair Mountain folks, the people trying to preserve it from mountaintop removal, just won a case in the federal circuit court saying that Blair Mountain should be listed, I think I've got this right, should be listed on the National Register of Historic Places, or that it should at least be remanded for listing, because they originally got it listed, you know, the archaeological work had been done, the trenches can still be found, there's still all kinds of bullets and the, you know, a few firearms have been recovered. These were World War I veterans who had come home, gone back into the mines, and been brutally repressed after, you know, fighting the war to end all wars and defending freedom. They'd come back home to be brutally repressed by the coal companies, So they were marching toward Logan, and they wound up setting up entrenchments, earthworks, the works on Blair Mountain. And along came the coal company and said, you know what we'd like to do? We would like to blow that mountain the hell up. And a bunch of people got kind of uppity about that and said, no. And so they started a move to get the place listed on the National Register of Historic Places and succeeded in getting it done. And then Joe Manchin stepped in and got it unlisted by virtue of the use of petition signatures from dead people.
Oh, he did a he did a Kennedy versus Nixon?
Kind of. You know, dead. There were objections to the listing filed by property owners who were dead.
Uh-huh. Well, that's Joe Manchin. So, I mean, you know, what you know.
But anyway, that's the one time, you know, when we talk about the universe of citizen repression, you kind of got to go to Blair Mountain, too.
Well, yeah. Well, see, I wasn't aware of that. I was aware that the military and private security, as they put it back then, basically whatever thugs the coal companies would hire and the rail companies would hire, that usually became, you know, professional police officers after these things happened, if they were successful. I wasn't particularly aware.
There's an awesome photograph of 1921 in Charleston, West Virginia, on the south side of the Kanawha River, and just entire squadrons of biplane aircraft parked ready to go and take off and go and bomb the miners.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I said, you know, this isn't new. You know, these things have happened, and that was the state, you know. But then in terms of, say, you know, natives, sometimes it was the army. Sometimes it was just a group of opportunistic farmers. Sometimes they were bounty hunters that went, you know, to, you know, get proof of kill, you know, in terms of, you know, however many natives they could get. And, you know, they got paid for however many scalps and so on. I mean, there are records of this. This isn't in dispute. People dispute it, but they're full of it. But when you look at, you know, anarchism, how, you know, the Palmer raids went down. You know, I mean, there are many, many stories. How the 1919 strike. I mean, you know, they're striking right now. Well, not striking, but they're blocking the boats that are coming from Israel in the ports of Tacoma and San Francisco. And they've been pretty successful at it. But there was a strike like that in 1919.
Not a lot of news out there on it, though, is there?
No. You have to go to the alternative news or the European news, or you don't find out anything. See, on the other hand, though, you have websites that are complete nonsense, like DebbieSlussell.com.
Oh, dear God, you sent me that link, and I just about flew through the roof.
Yeah, why don't you go through and explain that to people?
Give us a backgrounder on Debbie Schlussel.
She's like Pam Geller. She's just one of these, she's a blogger, if you still want to use that term. I mean, she obviously gets professional work. But she's like the Ann Coulter of the American Zionist lobby.
And she is an Islamophobe through the roof.
Through the roof. I mean, she's been tying Ferguson into the Palestinian struggle ever since it was reported that the tear gas canisters are coming from the same firm that's being used in both Gaza and in Ferguson, Missouri. So she's been trying to connect, you know, black people who happen to practice Islam to this, you know, to the struggle. It's ridiculous.
Well, this headline made me fit to scream. Hamas group, we Muslims are behind Ferguson race riots. Help us mobilize Michael Brown movement.
Which is not what they said. And, you know, Hamas had nothing to do with this. And what she's talking about is the Council on American-Islamic Relations, who they got themselves together to basically work against the idea that all Muslims are violent. You know, they're trying to protect their own community. I mean, they are.
Oh, I've known Care for years. I've met Ibrahim Hooper. He's a nice guy. It's a civil rights advocacy group.
Exactly. I mean, I've never found anything untoward about them, and I've looked, and you know, it's just nothing there, and they have nothing to do with Hamas whatsoever. I mean, they support the Palestinian community. That is their nation. And, you know, Hamas just happens to be the elected government. But as far as I know, there's no connection between them.
No, and, so, you know, so Debbie Schlussel writes, last week I told you that the Hamas front group, an unindicted co-conspirator in Hamas terrorism, CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, was working overtime to insert itself into the violent CARE race riots in order to pimp Islam on inner city blacks. And, of course, that's little I inner, little C city, capital B blacks. And I told you about the ISIS flags on the scene days before everyone else wrote about it. Now Hamas CARE wants you, and see, suddenly it's Hamas CARE, wants you and the rest of the world to know it is behind the violent race riots and looting that have been going on in Ferguson, Missouri for nearly 2 weeks.
Yeah, because she earlier has tried to tie the store, that the convenience store, or bodega, as I would call it, that the Mike Brown and his friend were in, where he did not steal the cigarillos. He paid for them. You know, the family says this. The lawyer for the family says this. You know, they never filed a robbery complaint. They never called 911. They never said that there was any, you know, problem other than they had a disagreement because, you know, it looked wrong. And then it turned out that he paid for the stuff. So then they dropped it and went on about their lives. But she's trying to say now that the store owners, the people who actually own the business, are connected to funding Islamic terrorism.
And yet, she's doing an Alex Jones. Yeah, and yet at the same time, there is a realistic connection, if I understand correctly, Angry. Because I saw a press release from a couple of years ago where the Ferguson Police Department was the St. Louis County Police Department was ballyhooing the fact that their officers had gone on exchange training missions to Israel to learn from the Israeli police how to suppress civil unrest.
Not just officers. I mean, several of them did, but the police chief himself.
Yes, yes.
You know, he was involved. This is the same one that's been lying to everybody ever since this started, especially now that we understand that there's audio showing that there were 6 shots, a pause, and then 5 shots. You know, I mean, how much more do we need to explain that, you know, this entire thing is being covered up? I mean, from what I'm understanding about this Darren Wilson, you know, now that he's been outed, actually, there's a whole movement now, right? We are Darren Wilson. You know these sons of bitches have raised damn near $500,000 for this motherfucker?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, they have. And the comments on the, if you could find them. The comments on the the crowdfunding page are just precious. But I got another one here. Let's see. One pro Darren Wilson protester. Let's see. Wesley Lowry on Twitter reported at one point, and this is back during the police riot. Wesley Lowry tweeted at one point tonight, Michael Brown protesters chanted, hands up, don't shoot. Darren Wilson supporters responded, shoot, shoot, shoot.
Oh, yeah. They're calling it a good kill.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing. Yeah, this is, that's another statement that's been made. One Darren Wilson supporter said, we'll all see this in the end, that it was a good shooting. You know. It was a good kill.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, I mean, if you look at the comments and their screenshots, you know, I mean, this is the internet, all right? You know, you put stuff out there, somebody's going to log on to it, and, you know, these folks are saying, here's my $10. And now, if you look at the donations, it's like $5, $10, $15, $20. These people don't have any money, but they're willing to contribute. They're nickels and dimes. And to leave a note, I always support animal control. I'm willing to, you know, to supply the next magazine for the next cop that's willing to go this far, or, you know, like words to that effect.
Yeah.
Someone needs to get, you know, take out the trash. Someone needs to get rid of the gorillas. And then at the same time, these yahoos want to come to me on Twitter and say, well, we're not racist. You are. And it's like, fuck you, you know. But then there's no point in actually getting into an argument with a numbskull like that. You just go ahead and you point out.
When I read that it was a good kill line, Angry, you know what the first thing I thought of? The right winger who, in the wake of the murder of Trayvon Martin, said, nice shooting, Zim.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, he's still being congratulated. Look, George Zimmerman is laughing his ass off right now. You know, he's running around, he's driving around, you know, he's beating up on his girlfriends, he's pulling weapons on them, he's threatening people, you know. And he's going to be able to do this because he's a symbol of what these cats want. And see, and this is what fascism looks like. People really need, in the United States anyway, really need to get it out of their head that fascism looks exactly like Mussolini and Hitler, and most people don't even think about Franco. You know, right, that is just, you know, very militaristic, and everybody's wearing a uniform, and, you know, you all got tight haircuts, and the women's
No, in the early days of Mussolini's fascism, he just had armed gangs of thugs.
That's all.
In fact, there is one there's one Hemingway short story where he writes about being broken down or a flat tire or something on some Italian road, and the fascisti come along. And it looked a hell of a lot more like Golden Dawn than it did Third Reich.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, remember, Mussolini was the first. He set the model. You know, he took what he saw in terms of organization, in terms of socialism, because he was raised as a socialist. I mean, come on, Benito. He was named after a Mexican revolutionary.
Yeah.
You know,
Benito Juarez.
You know, I mean, he took socialism and stretched it. You know, he removed all of the people think Marx created socialism. That's not true. He refined it in many ways. But, you know, he took those organizational elements, the same thing that Hitler did. I mean, they called themselves the working man's party, even though they were being completely supported by upper-level capitalists. But they used the thugs on the street. And when you look at this Darren Wilson, I'm sorry, but if he's the master race, I mean, you know, if this is supposed to be the example of, how can I put this without trying to sound really prejudiced? And I'm not talking about racially prejudiced. I mean, just to look at somebody and say, oh, yeah, well, he looks kind of dumpy and stupid looking and, you know, so that to show something, that was really stupid. But we do this. And we make a lot of these snap judgments. And it's like when I look at the people who are leaving these comments, when you follow their Facebook things, and they have these really ugly, you know, web pages, and they have the most vile comments, and you look at their activities, they're into guns, they all go to church, or they say they go to church, and they have all these Bible quotes, and they talk about how they're against abortion and support life, but they're pro-death penalty, and the tired of black people asking for handouts and
reparations.
Mexicans go back to their own country, and we get caught up in trying to argue with them on that level instead of really pointing out the one with the problem is you. If you feel the need to go into a goddamn convenience store with a gun and then shoot off your own goddamn privates, who's the punk here? Who's the idiot? Who's the one that's really goddamn afraid? Those cops are scared of us. If they have to come out with all of that goddamn equipment.
Yeah, for the most part, in this violent, violent, violent world, people of color in this country, angry, walk around every day without so much as a pop gun. And yet it's the white folks who are terrified.
But the thing is, they use that as the excuse that, you know, the violent weapon, the violent encounter, they use that as an excuse. And I'm saying this as somebody who's been an Uncle Tom, okay, most of his adult life, right? I started out very political. You know, I was raised by, you know, black conservatives, okay? I was raised by Eisenhower Democrats. But the rest of my extended family were very Afrocentric. You know, like I said, most of them are in the Nation of Islam. So, you know, I went through this full circle of saying, okay, well, you know, I'm not really treated too well here, and white people don't beat up on me the way I was treated in my neighborhood. You know, there's a lot of reasons why people taunt. But when you hang around white people to the point where I have, being of color, and you're there at their funerals, you're there when people are passing away, you're there when, you know, children are being born, you're there with them at their important moments, and they consider you in for the most part. You hear a lot of things that the average black person does not hear, that, you know, these folks may not say in front of people of color or near a microphone, you know, if they can avoid it. But I've heard a whole lot of things, and then that usual, well, I didn't mean you, or I didn't mean anything by it. right?
Yeah.
They used that whole gun thing as an excuse, because when you have that rationale, then it's justified then to have an unarmed big black man as that punk-ass motherfucking Ben Stein. And you can tell him I said, Ben Stein is a fucking punk.
Oh, that's where it was. Yeah, let me find that. Yeah, he's the one that said Michael Brown wasn't unarmed. He was armed with his incredibly strong, scary self.
Well, see, I've been in situations like that where I've gotten into something. I give you this scenario. Well, one of them anyway. I was with this chick that looked like Heidi Klum. It was like our second date, you know, and we just happened to go out, and this was in a major city. And the fucking hate that I got from the moment I came into the door.
Oh, I can imagine.
What is she doing with him? What the fuck is this? And it wasn't just the jock types. I'm talking about, you know, we went to a place where people had suits on. And, you know, they were just completely fucking rude. You know, it's not what, you know, they think that we actually have weapons on. And like I said, these things are excuses. You know, they are just afraid of us, period. Our presence is what frightens them.
You know, you make me think about you just sent my mind casting backwards. A lot of people don't know that the brilliant Mel Brooks movie Blazing Saddles was actually written in large part by Richard Pryor.
Well, yeah, but you're talking about a different time frame where people understood where that kind of satire was going.
But the thing is, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's tucked into a comic western that is actually social commentary on the present. And there's the one scene where the well-dressed little old lady, just, you know, brimming with moral rectitude, sees Sheriff Bart on the street and says, "I apologize about the up yours, but you will have the common decency not to speak to me on the street." And that's when she hands him the pie through the jail window.
Mm.
So, yeah, people, well-dressed people, and that's immediately what I thought of. Yeah, well-dressed people behaving in otherwise barbaric fashion.
Well, look, William Jennings Bryan, who should be admired, you know, for, you know, his anti-imperialism stance, and Mark Twain for that same matter, right, should be admired for their anti-colonialism, anti-imperialism stances. But Mark Twain and William Jennings Bryan were both bigots. And William Jennings Bryan, for example, when he was in Haiti, he remarked, "Oh my, niggas speaking French."
Jesus. I think Mr. Clemens was, and maybe it's just because he's a hero of mine, was a little bit less so, because his dispatches from Hawaii and from other parts of the globe wherein he ran into communities of color were far more damning of white folks than they were the folks of color.
Oh, no, I agree with you. But see, the thing is, if you read his, travels around the equator, because that's, I believe,
yeah,
that's
following
what you're referring
equator,
to,
yeah.
Following the equator, you know, these are people that people in the United States really did not have a relationship to. His relationship to Africans was different. Now, he will point out the social controversies, but at the same time, blacks were still blacks when it really came down to it. You know, he was no better or no worse than Thomas Jefferson was, you know, who was not the stupidest person in what became the United States, but still, you know, told his son, "You're still my property, right? And your mother belongs to me. Matter of fact, all of you goddamn belong to me. And I'm only going to, you know, favor you a little bit while we're in France, because it's goddamn embarrassing for these Frenchmen to ask me why I'm treating my own son like a slave. When somebody as smart as you would think you would treat him as an equal. I mean, he acts like you're equal." And he told his son that, too, that he had to really watch how the fuck he carried himself, because people are starting to really think that, you know, you think that you're above your station. You know, but then you can contrast that with George Washington. His slave, I can't remember his name right now, was the most painted, most written about black man in the country, or what became the United States at that time, during the Revolutionary War and after. I mean, he was giving orders in the field on Washington's behalf. They drank together. They hawed together, you know. I mean, they did all of these things. But at the same time, he was still his slave. No matter what. You know, I mean, we're talking about somebody who died coming back from the slave quarters in the middle of the night, slipped and hit his head and never recovered. You know, I mean, this is just the reality of things. You know, the relationship that white people have with Africans within the United States is always going to be different psychologically than the relationship they have with people from, you know, someplace else. There are folks who respect Hinduism, and I don't know why, if they really understood it, you know, the social impacts of it, who respect Hinduism, but then will say that black people need to, you know, stop listening to rap because that's why what happened to Michael Brown happened.
Oh, God, I got to share something with you. This just occurred to me in the course of what you were saying, Angry. Mm. I read, and I don't know why I do this to myself, I read the most recent Maureen Dowd column.
Oh, she's back.
Oh, Jesus. In which she referred to President Obama as that son of Kansas and Africa.
Well, it's true. He's not as African. He's not an African American in the same way that I am. He has a totally different experience.
Yeah,
he has a totally different experience.
But the thing, why is it necessary? I guess the question to make that reference. And the context in which she made the reference was this was another one of her scathing columns. I mean, the bitterness and the vitriol just steams off the page every time they publish one of her nasty little screeds on the New York Times. But in this case, she was excoriating Barack Obama, claiming that he had. Oh, what did she say? Basically that he had put Al Sharpton in charge of race relations in Ferguson instead of doing it himself. That he had abandoned race.
Maureen Dowd, you know, at this point, you know, who really gives a damn about the hell she said? Somebody else said that Eric Holder, who defended United Fruit, who killed how many thousands of Indians in South America, they got off with a fine. Human rights violations. Murdered Native Americans in South America, right? They got off with a fine. This is Eric Holder. He was their lawyer. And, you know, they're sending him in. There's been no real move to really do anything. There's been no executive action to do anything. And when I say executive action, I'm talking about an executive order from the White House to do something. The way Bush got up off his ass and left, where was he, in Crawford, Texas? Yeah, this is when the Crawford coward got up from his vacation to sign that emergency legislation over Terry Schiavo. You know, that same case where that other punk ass, Sean Hannity, was sitting outside and set up camp outside the hospital, where he brought a parade of half-assed doctors and people who sent their own letters to the Nobel Peace Prize goddamn committee to get themselves nominated. And there was a damn operation that was stopped by the authorities where they were going to kidnap this woman and take her to a safe location. You know, it sounds like I'm going on a tangent and it's unrelated, but it isn't. This is the mentality that we're dealing with. But what I'm saying is the mentality has always been there.
I'm still trying to sort out 2 days later, Angry, what Andrea Tanteros meant. You know, she was
trying to say, yeah.
Well, you know, Eric Holder runs the DOJ like the Black Panthers.
Like the Black Panthers. And it's like, what the fuck is that? You know, well, first off, she didn't say the Black Panthers, not the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. See, she said specifically the new Black Panther.
No. She said like the Black Panthers.
Oh, well, see, I got the information wrong. So she said the Black Panthers. Well, that caused even more goddamn confusion, because if the Black Panthers ran it, I can already tell you what would have happened. If the original Black Panthers had been anything, had still been around, they would have filed an international complaint with the UN. You understand what I'm saying? They would have filed international complaints with every consulate that they could have gotten a hold of and would have said that they were under military occupation. All right? And that they needed and demanded intervention from the international community. Do you see that coming from the Holder Department?
Yeah, see, that's, well, and they're, I mean, they operated to a certain extent under democratic principles, didn't they?
Yeah.
you know, consensus and all that, all that mm-hmm. good stuff.
Yeah, all the best of the left, you know. But that's definitely what they would have done. They would have taken this to the international level immediately. Immediately. Not to say that they wouldn't have dealt with the state and federal authorities and local authorities. Of course they would have. But they would immediately have brought that up, especially when you find out that the same tear gas canisters are being used in the Gaza, are being used in Ferguson, Missouri. No. See, you know, to equate the Obama administration with socialism and Marxism is fucking insanity. To associate Eric Holder and any of these other Negroes that are working with the Obama administration? No. There is nothing radical about this. They should be happy that Obama is president. They should be happy that it's not somebody, right, who really, you know, whose family has felt the sting in the lash, is somebody who's been stopped for absolutely no fucking reason, as I have, you know. I mean, this happened to me going to work, on dates. You know, this shopping, you know, how much money do you have on you? Where are you going? Where do you live? And then when I had moved to white neighborhoods to try to get away from that kind of thing, what are you doing here? You don't deserve to be here, you know. And like I said on my last show, I don't wear sneakers. I don't even wear jeans really very much. I look like Don Lemon.
God. Yeah, I just got a note in from Ray. He said, speaking of the Panthers, Gun Nuts sure didn't like those guys bearing arms.
No, and see, and that's the other goddamn thing. And since I'm on your show and we're heard in Appalachia, I'll say this to these Gun Nuts that listen to this show. Hey, man, you know, you want to find out what's being said on the left and so on, so you can go on your little petty websites and say whatever? Hey, where were you punks when it comes to the Constitution when it came to Ferguson?
Yeah, nowhere.
Fucking nowhere.
Well, that's, you know, and that's one of the things that Carol pointed out last night. No Gadsden flags, no tricorn hats.
Nope, not one.
No muskets,
the white supremacists, though, came to show up and say that they were Darren Wilson.
Yeah.
You know, see, they'll come up. And I really wish that they would just come out. I really wish that the GOP would just come out and say what it's about. I wish that Rand Paul would stop lying and saying that he gives a damn about black folks.
And oh, that, bless his little punkin head. Did you see that he took his wild ophthalmologic skills down to Guatemala?
To do what? To help them with the people who have been sterilized by this government that they just apologized for not too long ago? Did he go down there to talk about that as a medical professional?
Oh, no. He went down there to put drops in eyes and be a libertarian ophthalmologist.
Yeah, but he had to go to a Spanish-speaking country where you have all of these immigrants coming. Yeah, he's doing the same thing the Bush family did. They sent their brown relative, his nephew, down to Mexico to campaign for him. I didn't even know that was legal.
Jesus.
You know, I didn't even know that they could accept foreign, you know, donations. How the hell is that possible? How the hell is that possible? And why doesn't the public know this?
Well, we know why the public doesn't know it. Jeremy in Vermont just pointed out something angry. He said, you know, the right wing has always been terrified of rap, gangsta, rap, R&B, which I find funny since one of the most prolific rappers of all time, Tupac, said himself, there isn't a white man alive that would trade places with me, and I'm rich.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just had a TV producer, black, right?
Yeah.
What happened to him?
That was Shug, right?
No. Shug got shot at a party for Chris Brown. You know, this was a TV producer. I don't know where.
Oh, no. Are you talking about Chris Charles Belk in Beverly Hills?
Yeah. I mean, look, man. You know. Take some other calls, but you know, I'm going to tell you, no matter what we say here, you know, in terms of preaching to the choir, they already know this. I mean, you had an excellent guest on last night. She explained it, you know, and I'm going to say it like this from a white person's perspective. I think pretty, you know, articulately, and she did it with, you know, a sense of compassion.
Well, okay. But more than anything else, respect.
Respect.
Because the most impressive part of that, and it's what you didn't see on CNN, for instance, and God knows not on Fox. The most impressive part of what Carol had to say, within the four corners of the brilliant piece of writing that she did, was to point out the profound power of listening, not talking. Now here's what you people need to do, you people. No, go and listen, and that's what the CNNs of the world are incapable of doing, and the Foxes. You know, bless his heart, Chris.
Their job isn't to listen. Their job is to articulate the new reality.
Yeah, bless his heart, though. Chris Hayes did go there, and he listened. You know, they tried to get people to talk about what was happening instead of standing there and pontificating about what was happening.
Well, he was trying to be a reporter, and they tried their best to stop him from doing that. So I'm going to go, man. But look, you know, please, people, support this show as much as you possibly can. Keep Bob on the air. You know, you're not going to hear this talk anywhere else. And that's the problem. You know, take care of yourself, my man. Peace.
Thank you, Angry. Have a good night. Thanks for all you said and all your help. I appreciate it. Bye now.
Bye.
Our buddy, the Angry Indian. AngryIndian.blogspot.com, I do believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. In a chat message, Angry. I'm kind of, I talk with Angry, and I just kind of feel like I've been. I'm left kind of dumbstruck. Angry brings the A game every time. And he's right. We've got $35 remaining this evening, $35 remaining in Steve's Prayer Meeting Wednesday challenge. Remember, he's going to double everything that comes in up to $50, and so there's $35 remaining. Hopefully, that will happen in the next 33 minutes or so. I want to go back to the Arizona story because Jan and Jerry went out looking around, and they found the website for Bullets and Burgers. Because I'm still kind of stymied by that, too. Helicopter flights to our range and the Grand Canyon. Shoot it. Burgers and Bullets. Las Vegas ATVs. Shoot a 50 cal. Ride an ATV. Jeremy noting, by the way, I love Angry. Yeah, Angry gets fan mail every time he's on the program. Shoot a Barrett 50 cal. Rambo 2's M60. Terminator Spas 12. Shoot at our outdoor desert range. Yeah, really. The Bullets and Burgers Adventure is a private outdoor range set in a stunning outdoor desert landscape. We separate ourselves from all other Las Vegas ranges, because I guess there's a bunch. Dear God. We separate ourselves from all other Las Vegas ranges with our unique desert storm atmosphere and military-style bunkers. Oh, goody. Oh, they've even got Jumanji's USAS 12 weapon. We are located on the eclectic 30-plus acre Arizona Last Stop property surrounded by picturesque mountain views at the edge of the undeveloped Lake Mead recreational area. Our guests have the opportunity to fire a wide range of fully automatic machine guns and specialty weapons. You'll choose the guns which you want to shoot from our extensive collection, and we provide the eye, ear protection, ammunition, and expert guidance. No, really, this website is still up, even after a 9-year-old. And by the way, the cutoff line for old enough to shoot a fully automatic machine gun, 8 years old at Burgers and Bullets, 8 years old. You could click here to view all of our available guns. No, our 50 caliber selections includes the Barrett Sniper Rifle, the Browning BMG 50 cal, the Deuce, and the Desert Eagle. We even have the actual firearms used in several Hollywood hits, including the Terminator. Really? And Rambo 2 to top it off. Lunch is included inside the world-famous Arizona Last Stop restaurant located on site. You'll be treated with the world-famous All-American Hamburger, fresh-cut French fries, and a drink. The All-American Burger is guaranteed to be the best hamburger you have ever eaten. Yeah. Choose your machine guns. And then at the bottom, and this is the best part, there's a rotator with reviews written by various visitors. Great shooting experience. You definitely need to try this. There are quite a few shooting trips and similar price, but glad we chose to go with burgers and bullets. We went as a group of four, and that was it on our trip, which was better. I would have thought it would be full, meaning you would have to wait for each person to shoot. On and on. I was a bit edgy when I saw the size of the gun. We came across the Bullets and Burgers advert on the Las Vegas Strip. There are three packages, but you can upgrade or choose extras during your visit. We paid the deposit and organized a pickup time from our hotel reception. The air-conditioned minivan was on time and had a great, knowledgeable driver tour guide who sorted our weapon choice and inclusive food orders en route. The journey was about an hour, but worth it for the amazing views of Lake Mead and mountains. The best part was the Barrett 50 caliber sniper rifle. The tour guide is very knowledgeable of Las Vegas and gives you a quick tour while driving to the destination. We got to see and drive on the new bridge at the Hoover Dam. I got to shoot a Glock, AK-47, RPD, and the powerful one Barrett 50 caliber. Then after all that shooting, we got to eat the famous burger. Without exaggerating, that was the best burger I have ever had. So if you're coming to Las Vegas, don't miss out and have a shooting good time. See, that's how the family from New Jersey got to burgers and bullets. I guess they were staying in Vegas. And they went to have a shooting good time. No, really. Bullets and Burgers is a great way to spend a morning or afternoon at Arizona Last Stop. They have a variety of fantastic and classic guns. The employees are great and help you when firing your weapon of choice, until you kill them. I highly recommend getting the gold package, as the Barrett 50 Cal is a fantastic and memorable gun to fire. And the burger was great. This is a guest from Geelong, Australia. Lots of guests. Let's see. I mean, and the website's still up. No, really, it is. It was a real blast for all of us. Best thing to start the bachelor party day. Thanks to Brand for all the information while driving and showing us the Hoover. Thanks to the shooting instructors, they did a really good job, guest from Neuburg, Germany. Bullets and Burgers was an amazing experience that I would recommend to both gun enthusiasts and people who are not, yet. I wonder if the family from Jersey are gun enthusiasts now. Tour guide was knowledgeable, personable, and just a fun, cool guy. And the burger was definitely one of the best I've ever had. Yeah. I mean, this is unreal. On and on and on. No kidding. Hey, thank you, Carol. Carol just kicked in and took us down to $30 to go. She doubled her money. Thanks to Steve's Prayer Meeting Wednesday Challenge. Thank you very kindly, Carol. Steve in China says, burgers and bullets. Come for the burgers, stay for the blood. Ray says, those that get shot in Vegas, stay in Vegas. This is awful. I mean, my heart aches for the 9-year-old. And I don't know, in America now, do we just say, as the sheriff of Mojave County said, well, it fired. I can speculate that he was trying to put it in some terms that would that would be perhaps a little bit of a relief to the child? You save up for your vacation, and then you get home and you walk through the doors of your house there in the burbs of Jersey. And what? And the first thing you're doing is how long is the child going to be in counseling? How many nightmares? Because military-grade firearms are now a tourist attraction in this country? I'm licked. I really, really am. To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, boss.
Hey, what's up, Jerry?
You know, who was that religious nutwing you were playing earlier? I always got their names. I get them all confused.
Are you talking about Chappie or Pat Robertson or...
No, it was... I know Pat Robertson. I can hear his ugly ass all the time. It's Chappie. Now, his apology, unapology... You're a gay person, so I can't really apologize to him. Apologize that slam. I don't know if anyone else picked up on it, but what's the whole point of this ALS challenge, ice pack challenge, originally, that if you dumped the water in yourself, you didn't have to pay?
I think it was backwards. You were supposed to write a check, and if you didn't write the check, then you dumped the ice water.
Okay, so he said he was going to write a check, then he dumped the water in himself, supposedly. So, either way...
He's an idiot. He's absolutely an idiot. The interweb tubes are now proliferating with videos of the ice bucket challenge gone horribly wrong. For instance, last night I saw a guy who had on an American flag vest and was holding a Confederate battle flag, light his head deliberately on fire, and then threw water on it, only it didn't put out the fire, and it began burning harder, and he went running screaming.
Sorry. It's not funny, but it's...
I mean, there are videos out there of people getting full coolers, full garbage cans of water dumped on their head. You know, the kind of stuff that breaks necks and kills people. A person has been killed in the course of the ice bucket challenge now. And, of course, go ahead.
Is that the story about the girl whose father dumped the bucket wax and dropped the bucket?
I'm not sure offhand. I just know
I think that was a fake, but, yeah, go ahead.
No, I just saw that there's been one reported death. You can't, you know, of course you can't blame the ALS Foundation or Society or whatever they are for it, but this thing has gotten completely out of hand.
Yeah, I saw a story, I think it was probably just this week, I think it was like this weekend, where I think it was a Southern fire rescue team put their ladder up to dump a bucket of water on people, and they didn't recognize the high-tension power line next to them, so... There's the arc from the line into four firefighters in the bucket and sent them out of the hospital, two of them critical. And then two people on the ground that tried to get the ladder back down were also electrocuted because it was still engaged to the wire.
This is people being stupid for easy internet fame because... You know, when Andy Warhol said, someday we will all be famous for 15 minutes or 5 minutes or 15 seconds or whatever it was he said, that almost takes on a prophetic quality when you consider the internet. Everybody could be famous now to somebody.
And then this gun thing with this 9-year-old. Someone told me this story because I kind of heard it in a blurb. I think Malloy mentioned it a couple nights ago, and I kind of heard it on the back end because I tuned in and turned back out because I didn't get reception. But I heard something about it. Someone told me today, and I just dumbfounded. I was like, my mouth opened up, and I didn't know what to say, and he kind of slapped his head. Exactly. There's nothing to say. What can you say? And I said, number one, why is a 9-year-old using a gun at a firing range? And number two, why are they using a fully auto? I mean, even a 22 packs a wall to a 9-year-old. So, you put it on a full auto, you're not going to hold a kick. So, I mean, I automatically knew what happened. We hear about this gun stuff all the time. A couple of years ago, some of the Vermont contingent will recognize this too. There's a town, a couple of towns over here called Essex. And these jackasses decided to set up a firing range downhill from another house. There's a berm of sand and a target. There's an AK-47. They didn't figure out that the slope was enough to catch the bullet. So one of the stray bullets went up the hill through the dining room wall and killed a man sitting at the dining room table.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we hear about this stuff all the time. I guess the public isn't even shocking anymore. I feel bad for the instructor's family, but on one hand, I think natural selection, again, it happens. I don't know. I just don't know.
Well, I had that in the stacks for Moran Monday. I deliberately did not use it on Moran Monday because I can't find any funny out of it. There's an abundance of unenlightened. There are boatloads of dumb and just absolute bomb train length train car loads of heartache in it. You know, because 39-year-old guy who's a firearms instructor at a tourist attraction, right? And you know, who knows how long he's been doing it? Who knows how many people he's helped to fire the weapon? But now that I've been to the website and I've seen how they operate, when I originally read the story, I thought it was just an Arizona couple getting up in the morning and deciding to go down and squeeze off a few rounds to make sure that they're still real good with the fight. No, it wasn't that at all. These were tourists trying to find something touristy and big and flashy and fun to do while in Vegas. And, you know, for years and years and years, and the Vegas contingent can verify this, Vegas tried to rebrand itself as a family-friendly vacation destination. And I guess this is part of it. You know, or the roller coaster at the top of the high rise, on the top of the tower that just looms over the whole area that's Vegas. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff to do there. We were out there, but then again, that's why I have this disconnect, Jeremy, with the story itself, because I can't see me sitting in a hotel room in Vegas looking at Agnes and saying, hey, we've got the kids with us. Let's do something fun for the kids. What do you say we go shoot machine guns? My head doesn't work that way.
What I think is I'm right there. I said time and time again, the different things that I've worked in, the different scenarios I've been in, I still don't feel a need for a gun. So that's probably the last thing on my mind is go shoot machine guns or even guns for the fun of it. I don't see it. I did it as a kid, not so much. I'm a new kid, middle 20s. But, yeah.
But my freshman year in college, I took a PE class because it was part of the core requirements. And my PE class was marksmanship. I got a C. Because I'm not worth a damn with a firearm. For however long the semester was, twice a week I showed up down at the ROTC office and we went on the gun range and I sat there and fired a .22 at a paper target however many yards downrange. Oh, well.
I don't know. I, with all the other nonsense crap stories that flood the news waves, this story, I didn't get much coverage. I don't know if you heard of the Duggars. I'm sure you heard of the Duggars. We've all heard of the Duggars.
Oh, the Quiverful.
Yes. But they came, I mean, I can't think of the story, but I know it involved trans persons. And basically, I think they came out and said that they've always believed that trans people were essentially crazy and misguided by God or something like that. It was one of those backstories which really didn't get on fire because of all this stuff going on around the world, but I saw that and I kind of got a good laugh out of it because these are the things that slowly take these people down when their true intentions come out from the little shiny production they're showing on TV.
Oh, I can't take them. I mean, what, the story a couple of days ago where some politician called for gay people to be imprisoned for 10 years at hard labor?
Yeah, I saw that yesterday. Just want to bang your hands to the wall because as far as you like to think we've come, we really haven't come that far. There's still that population in the country which won't see the end of the way. I mean, there was another story that went around, and I don't know if you or Malaya covered it, but it was about a young boy, probably the same age as the girl who shot the instructor in one day. He was somewhere around that age, between, I'd say, 9 and 12. He died. Clinically died. And the important part of this story is he was raised in a white supremacist family.
Oh, that was satire.
That was okay. I wasn't
yeah,
sure.
That was, yeah, before you even get... No, that was satire.
Ah, they got me again. That's funny. It was still funny. That was one of the things where you could almost see it happening. You wouldn't be surprised.
And then there's this reality show. I've never seen it. Of course, I don't have TV here, so that kind of makes sense. There's this reality show called Sons of Guns.
Oh, I know you're going with this one.
Have you heard of that? Have you ever even seen it or anything? I mean... I got no, I'm clueless on what it's about.
It's Discovery Channel, or one of their spinoff channels, and basically it's a family who designs exotic weapons for people. Like, they put like a 40 cal machine gun on top of a Jeep for someone, just their personal Jeep because they wanted it. I've only seen a couple of shows, it's been like guns, I don't care, but it's along those lines. It's basically, orange chopper with guns.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. So the star of Sons of Guns is a guy named Will Hayden. And once again, it's a story that comes out of Louisiana. I guess if you're a reality TV producer, Louisiana is fertile ground. I wonder if these guys are friends with the duck people. But anyway, the star of Sons of Guns, a guy named Will Hayden, has been arrested, charged with raping his own 14-year-old daughter, and having been doing so for quite some time, having first begun raping her when she was 11. The daughter says it was almost daily for the past 3 years.
Yeah, and she was afraid to report it because he threatened abuse, basically, like, I'll kick the shit out of you, basically, something like that.
Yeah, the description here says Sons of Guns is a 5-season reality program that centers around Hayden's business, Red Jacket Firearms, which sells, builds, designs, and repairs guns.
Does it surprise you any that some gun nut, being this guy in particular, has a taste for hurting others and probably using guns to threaten them? Does it really shock anybody out there? Because it doesn't shock me. It almost kind of goes hand in hand with a lot of these guys to me.
Here's the funny part, though. This is, after all, capitalism, and this is, after all, business, Jeremy. So, consequently... As of Tuesday, according to Raw Story, as of Tuesday, Red Jacket Firearms put a notice up on its Facebook page. Because even though we're talking here about the allegedly almost daily rape of a girl between the ages of 11 and 14, who was the daughter of the guy who was the guy at Red Jacket Firearms, well, they said today... And that was yesterday. Red Jacket Firearms has received complete legal separation as an entity from Will Hayden. We will continue to operate, although with heavy hearts, and promise to do everything in our power to fill customer orders, back orders, and provide support to those affected by these new developments. So in other words,
freedom energy.
Well, yeah, kind of, but you know what they're really saying here is, dang, we've been making a boatload of money, and we don't want to stop making a boatload of money. So we have separated ourselves from the fellow who was this company in the first place and was raping and was allegedly raping his daughter. But y'all keep buying stuff from us, okay? Because money.
Wasn't this his company, though? So, I mean, essentially, he's removed himself from the company just to kind of take away his personal from his private earnings and stuff like that. Didn't you just say that he was the owner?
That's what it says, yeah.
So, I don't know.
Hayden's business, Red Jacket Firearms.
Yeah, so they've essentially pulled a Freedom Enterprises where they closed, didn't close up shop, but they separated from him in hopes to lieu of being sued by this child of his. I don't know, Bob. I'm going to let you go because you got a few minutes left and maybe someone else can slide in here for the last, like, 5 minutes.
All right. Well, Jeremy, have yourself a good evening.
You too. Thanks.
Bye now.
Bye.
Calling from Vermont, that's our buddy Jeremy. Let's check in with a clip from, maybe. I don't know if we can or not. I was going to say, let's check in on a clip from Sons of Guns with Will Hayden. Nope, guess what? Discovery Channel has pulled it down. Oh, now the internet will forget. But really, is anyone surprised? Because I'm not. And again, sort of along the same lines of the 9-year-old little girl from the Arizona incident. How do you even begin to contemplate the healing that this girl will need? And of course, the police, I asked her, why'd you wait so long to tell us? Because, you know, maybe it was her fault. You sure you're not just making this up? No, there's no report that the cops asked her that. But she said, because I was afraid, because my daddy told me not to tell anybody because he's all I've got. Mm-hmm. So your daddy is your rapist, and your daddy, who is your rapist, is a maker of firearms of incredibly deadly effect. Why'd you wait so long? Really, Officer Friendly? Really? You gotta ask? So that pretty much brings us... That pretty much brings us to the close of this evening's prayer meeting Wednesday service. Thanks to everybody for coming on down to the Cathedral of Common Sense, the tabernacle, if you will. And thanks to Steve for making his prayer meeting Wednesday challenge. There remains $30 outstanding, which Steve is willing to double for anyone who wishes to take advantage of it. I'm sorry, $25. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you very kindly. $25 to go. It's half met. PayPal buttons at headonradionetwork.com. Of course, you know that. That means tomorrow, the 28th day of August, will be Thorn in the Side Thursday. I hope you'll be here for the conversation. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks very much to all of you who keep all of this going with not only your financial contributions, but with your contributions of ideas and stories, conversation, your delightful participation in the chat room, your Facebook participation, Twitter, all the myriad ways that we keep the conversation going here. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy, moderators in the Horn chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to John Fox down in Australia for all he does to help us keep the baling wire and Band-Aids on the equipment here that keeps everything going. Thank you to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Remember, since 2002, Ben Birch has been preserving progressive broadcasting on the Internet, and he's never sent a bill. WhiteRoseSociety.org, also where you go to get the podcast feed address for this program. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACHECT, ACHECT.org. And always, 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 Gina. It's all for you.